Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us begin praying. Let us pray. Thou art the Heavenly Father, our Father. By the compassionate gift of grace that hath redeemed our souls, may our hearts hear thy glorious word to edify our souls this day. I pray in the name of Christ the Lord. Amen. Some of the younger generation may not be old enough unless you found it on YouTube. But the older generation, I ask you, do you remember the old TV commercials, Timex takes a lickin' and keeps on ticking? Do you remember the different abuses they put the old Timex watches to through the years? Do you remember the motorboat engine? And they took it to the motorboat engine and then went racing in the tub and all that. And though the watch went flying off, they showed that image at the end, the second hand keeps ticking. I remember the time it was put on the rescue raft and on the front of it and going out in the waves in the ocean, come back and it says, it takes a licking and it keeps on ticking. Do you remember those commercials? Timex, any situations to show the shock resistance or the water resistance, no matter what happened, Timex took a licking and kept on ticking. How the years have passed since then. The shapes of watches past have changed too greatly. I don't know if a smartwatch from Apple or anything like that could survive the licking the Timex clock got and kept ticking. I don't know, have any of you tried putting your Apple watches underwater? I don't know if they're water resistant or not. Timex, I mean, the differences through the years. You know, time keeps ticking. And the number of kids nowadays, they cannot read an analog clock. You know, the one with the hands. Aria goes, I can. But, I mean, their hands and the mouth, they need the numbers now. But time, how it keeps ticking and moving forward. The other week, I was at a soccer game. Oakwood High School girls' soccer team was playing for their Ohio regional game. And the game was not too far away. It was just down in Miamisburg. So I decided to go and watch the team from my old high school play to root them on in a regional game. I mean, that's pretty good, making it to regionals, being district champions. And as I sat there, I was wondering if I could recognize any of the fans that would be coming in. Because Oakwood, not many people move out from Oakwood and all that. So I was watching to see if I can. I had to remember, you know, they're going to be old like me. Because it's been a few years, so I was sitting there watching, and then it flipped through my brain. The last time I was playing for varsity soccer for Oakwood, and remembering the times I had fun playing for varsity soccer for Oakwood, and it sunk in. The last time I was on the field playing varsity soccer for Oakwood was 38 years ago. I mean, I just lost. I go, oh my goodness, it's been 38 years since I last played varsity soccer for Oakwood. My, where has the time gone? And those years, they've had ups and downs. I've taken a licking, but I'm keeping on ticking. Hardships and joys, they filled those years, but I keep going. And I'm sure you can relate to that too as the years pass by. They keep ticking by second, as the old Timex watch commercial would show. That face hand with the seconds and the second hand kept ticking away. You know, soon it will be approaching 2,000 years since John the Apostle wrote his letters, which have been referred to as epistles in generations past. Do any of you remember the word epistle? We don't use that word much anymore, but the word epistle simply means sent. It's a letter that's been sent. And as a youth in church, I remember sitting each Sunday, you'd have your Old Testament lesson, you'd have a psalm, you'd have an epistle, and you'd have the gospel. Do you remember that in your bulletins from as a child? That word epistle was there. And you'd have from all those different sections of Scripture each week. And the epistle was for one of the letters from the New Testament and the gospel. John's letters. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John's letters, they're likely written, very likely written between 85 and 95 A.D. And these were written after John had wrote his gospel. For the way these letters are written, there's a presence there that there's an assumption that those who are receiving these letters or would hear these letters read to them are familiar with the Gospel of John. It just, you have that knowledge of John's gospel present in these letters. And these letters are written to counteract the growing heresy, especially Gnosticism, and to remind the people who Christ truly is and what it means to be redeemed by Christ, to be saved by Christ and become a child of God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3, John writes, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ." Now think of the writer of this letter. From that personal experience of being with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, John writes. So it's a personal experience. John has first-hand personal knowledge, personal experience. This is not second-hand hearsay. What we have here is first-hand personal knowledge, personal experience, writing about the fellowship with the Father and with the Son. And with that in mind, that first-hand experience, I'm jumping now to 1 John chapter 3, the first part of verse 1. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are." How great is the love? It really misses the outburst of emotion from John being expressed here. "Behold," is what he writes. "Behold, see, perceive." That's how John begins this part. "Behold, how great the love." In other words, pay attention, really understand, see. And so you have behold. The next word in the Greek is patapen. And John selected this word to draw our attention to that word love. Patapen is an adjective, and it describes the agape love. So behold, pay attention to the manner of love. Pay attention to the greatness of love. Pay attention to the humongous wonderfulness of this love. Potapen is that adjective modifying agape to draw attention to the wonder and greatness of this love. The New International Version writes it this way: "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." That word lavish is to help us understand this love. That's their way of trying to describe potapen from the Greek into English. Lavish means to bestow profusely, recklessly extravagant, pouring forth liberally in great abundance. There really is not enough adjectives to describe the superabundant love the Father has poured out upon us. Such excessive love the Father looks upon us with. So really let this sink in. This excessive love just overflows to us. The Father pours out upon us. So as the Father looks upon us, the Father declares, "My child." This is simply wonderful in meaning. And to make the point, to drive that point farther home, this truth, John writes, "And that is what we are." The Greek contains the exclamation point. In the Greek, you find chiasmen, "and we are." So he begins with, "Behold this love, and we are." This is the word order from the Greek, going word for word, translating word for word, and then I'll help explain a little more. So, "Behold what love has given to us the Father, that children of God we should be called, and we are." The truth of that reality John knew from first-hand experience and wants all believers to experience this as he has experienced. This is how John expressed the truth in his gospel. Gospel of John chapter 1 verses 12 and 13. "Yet to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God. That love that John knows you can know, that love is expressed in 1 John chapter 4, verse 10. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. And then you find in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now, since the Father loves us with such exceedingly great and profusely overflowing love, in what manner will the Father look upon us as the days of our mortal life come to close? The Father loves us so much, he gave his only begotten Son to save. Would this living God, who created you in his own image, simply at the close of your mortal life, turn around and walk away? Would the Father forget you? Will the Father forget the ones he so poured out his love over and called him my child? Both the Gospels of Mark and Luke recount an event when the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus with a question about marriage at the resurrection. And this is the conclusion from Luke chapter 20, verses 37 and 38. Jesus answers them, "But in the account of the bush, even Moses showed that the dead rise. For he calls the Lord the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. For to him all are alive." Jesus speaks about being alive. Recall the Mount of Transfiguration. Remember who is with Jesus along with his three inner circle disciples? On that mountain where the veil was taken back, and along with Jesus and his glory showing forth, do you remember who was standing with him? Moses. And Elijah, very much alive, speaking with Jesus, talking with Jesus about his departure that was to take place in Jerusalem. These two men, long physically dead, yet on that mountain, were alive and speaking with Jesus. Perhaps this will add to our understanding, as Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, starting in verse 20. "I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now as always Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ will overflow on account of me." Paul was struggling to be with Christ, that joy, that gain. "But yet my labor's here for your faith, your gain. To be with Christ, oh, I want to be with Christ. But I am to labor with you so that your joy can be in Christ." This is life in this world. Or that life is ours with Christ forever. Paul was wrestling with that, and he desired far much more to be with Christ. That joy of being in Christ's presence, Paul so eagerly desired. Do you? Do I? Do we live in that manner with such hope and expectation of being with Christ? Time keeps ticking. The second hand keeps its steady march around the face of the clock, with the minutes becoming hours, the hours becoming days, the months, the years. They're adding up till one day that second hand motion will be left behind by you, by me, by each one of us, each and every person. Time will come to a close on another life. What then? Will all hope fade away? Will tears be unstoppable, and tears along with that unquestionable heartache? What then? If this is all we hope for, is this life, these things around us, is this all our hope is, the stuff of this life? We are to be pitied amongst all the people. But there is more. There's more. More. Go farther in, higher up. Farther in, higher up, farther in. That's C.S. Lewis. That's the way he drew the picture. Farther in, higher up. In the Chronicles of Narnia conclusion, the last battle, you go farther in, higher up, towards. What does this mean for daily living life? What priorities would change in our life? Would accumulation of things be changed into accumulation of friends? Or more than that, would time be given to discipleship and discipling? Because this is what goes on forever, is living in Christ, not the things of this world. Would our priorities change if we grasped hold of what it means to live with Christ forever? Discipleship, discipling, to ensure that the faith is handed on to the next generation? Would the cross of Christ and the great love of God capture your heart in such fullness you can't help but be different from the world around you? The faith. The clock keeps ticking. One day it will stop for you. One day the clock will stop for me of this earth. But what comes next? We have the words from Christ himself. John chapter 14, starting at verse 1. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me, in my Father's house. Hear that? In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now start putting all of this together. The Father loves us. And through the Son and the redeeming work on the cross, this gift of mercy and grace has been shown to us. So that if we believe Jesus is the Christ, we are given the right to become children of God. And as children of God, we have a Father who loves us more than we can even begin to comprehend. The Father loves you so much that in his house, a place is prepared for you. He loves you so much, he gave his only begotten Son to save you. Again, would the living God who created you in his own image simply at the close of your mortal life turn around and walk away? Will the Father forget you? Will the Father forget the ones he loves, the ones he redeemed through his Son? Will the Father forget? No! The Father will know you as his own. And the Father will say to you, the ones the Father loves. And to your loved ones whom the Father loved who have gone before you, the Father will say, welcome home, my child. Welcome home. Oh, amen.